Here's the editor of Lenswork Publishing, Brooks Jensen.
Today I want to talk about project photography. And to be honest, I'm prompted to do so because of an email I recently received. And this email brings up a number of points that I think I want to address. So let me begin by reading the email. This comes from a Lenswork reader named Jerry. He writes, "Hello. A good friend of mine has just given me a stack of Lenswork magazine that he's collected over the months, and I was highly pleased by the superb quality of the photos and the overall editorial philosophy and mission. I read the essays at the front and back of the issues and found them informative and inspirational. When my friend handed me the issues, he said how much he enjoyed them, but warned me that the photo portfolios could be quite repetitive. And having looked at most of the issues, I completely agree, to the point that I would say that it ruins an otherwise wonderful tribute to beautiful photography. My first reaction to each new portfolio as I page through an issue is great pleasure, almost regardless of what the subject is or who the photographer is. But after a few pages, I'm so saturated with essentially the same photographs that I end the section almost disgusted with the waste of good pages. This shortcoming is the only thing preventing me from subscribing. I was in the magazine business for my entire career, but for the life of me, I can't imagine why you would choose an editorial policy that ends up doing the opposite of what you intend, rather than leaving me in awe of the vision and creativity of the wonderful photographers you feature. I end up sick of them. The best issue I've seen so far is Legacy 2024, and by now, I'm sure you can completely understand why. Sincerely, Jerry." Well, the first thing I have to say in response is I really appreciate this kind of feedback from readers, whether it's complimentary or not, or mixed, as this one was. Obviously, one of the challenges of being a publisher is you put together information, send it out in the world, and if you never hear back from anybody, you have no idea how people are interpreting what you've done, and that feedback is always a useful thing. And I don't really want to refute his letter, but maybe a little context might explain to him and to any of you who have had similar thoughts about why we publish what we publish. In particular, put what Lenswork publishes in the context of the history of photography publishing. I think we have to begin by looking back at the earlier efforts of photographers in previous generations, maybe let's just arbitrarily go back 100 years or so. The difficulty of making a single image was so complex and so difficult that most people couldn't do it very well. And when an accomplished photographer held up an 8x10 or an 11x14 print that was stunning, that captured our imagination, that had beautiful tones in it, we all applauded because we knew it was such a complex thing to do. But that's not the truth anymore. And making a single image that's outstanding is pretty straightforward, partly because the technology helps us do that so much more easily than previous generations could, but also because we have the benefit of looking back at the entire history of photography and seeing what's worked and what hasn't worked by various photographers. Otherwise, we have heroes we can emulate, where previous generations, they were the pioneers. They had to forge and define what a good photograph was, and it was not easy for them to do. But nonetheless, the single great image is what dominated photography for so long. There were exceptions, of course, the Pencil of Nature, I think of, or even fast forward to Edward Weston's great monograph, California in the West, which was a thematic approach to a region, but not a subject. So in my way of thinking, creating a single image basically dominated the first generations of photographers. And then in the 1970s, I remember a book being published that was The Portfolios of Ansel Adams. And it was the first time as a fine art photographer, or at that time, a wannabe fine art photographer, it was the first time I was introduced to the idea of a multiplicity of images combining together to be a thing. And I remember being sort of flabbergasted when I heard that so many people were buying the Ansel Adams original portfolios and then breaking them up and either selling off the individual prints that they didn't like so they could essentially afford to keep the ones they did like, or for other reasons, splitting up a portfolio, which always seemed kind of a shame to me because it fractured Ansel Adams' original creative vision for those portfolios. Well, fast forward, and I go to my first workshop in the early 1980s and observed something that was fascinating. And all of this is part of what led to why we publish what we publish. So stick with me here for a few minutes. In that early workshop, every one of the students had an opportunity to put up individual images and have them critiqued with commentary from the instructors of the workshop and, of course, the other participants. So it was an incredibly valuable learning experience. But I noticed something very interesting happen after everybody had finished showing their collection of individual greatest hits sorts of images. And that was, there was always, every workshop I went to, there was always someone in the back who raised their hand and said, I have one more thing I'd like to show if there's time. Sure, of course, there's plenty of time. What have you got? And they would pull out a clamshell box with a collection of 10 or 12 or 15 or 20 images that were a portfolio, similar to the way Ansel Adams had done his portfolios. Each print individually matted and then gathered in the clamshell box, often with a title page and a colophon and another page maybe with introductory text. It was a project. It wasn't a book because it wasn't bound. It was just individual photographs the way Ansel Adams had done his portfolios. But there was no question it was a project intended to be seen as a unified body of work. And like I say, I saw this in every workshop I ever attended. There would be at least one person who had a portfolio that they wanted to share with the rest of the group. And I always thought those portfolios were fascinating. Well, fast forward. Maureen and I decide to start doing lens work. And believe it or not, the first 11 issues of lens work had no pictures in them. We originally conceived lens work to be a journal of ideas, of essays and articles and interviews about photography and the creative process, but we didn't know what to do with images. And partly that was because of printing quality issues. We printed those first 11 issues of Lenswork in our garage on our own little printer. So that led us away from including images in the first 11 issues. And a photography magazine that had no photographs in it was maybe not my best ever business idea, but nonetheless, we did that and then introduced images in issue number 12. But we had a long debate before we did so about what we wanted to include. And it was clear that one thing we did not want to include were the greatest hits from the famous, often dead guys. And the reason was that we figured the world didn't need that. There were plenty of other photography magazines who would publish an image or two, and usually those were a lot of the times the same images we'd seen in other magazines published over the years. The same photographers and the same images kept showing up because they're the famous images, and they would sell magazines. And we decided we didn't want to do that. And during those first 11 issues of Lenswork, we kind of struggled with not only how we would do a magazine that had images, but why we would want to include images in the magazine. And then it dawned on me, all those portfolios that I kept seeing in workshops that I was attending were something that no one else was publishing. Because if a project had 10 or 15 or 20 images in it, a magazine just didn't want to publish 10 or 15 or 20 images from a single project. They were all focused on what I characterize as the greatest hits. More about that in just a minute. So we decided that was one thing that Lenswork could do that no one else was doing, was we could publish bodies of work, photographic portfolios that consisted of a dozen or maybe two dozen images that were held together conceptually as a theme with a title that told a little story that expanded the view of a given image. And so that's what we started with Lenswork number 12, and that's what we've done ever since, is photographic projects, rather than greatest hits. I've recently had sort of a debate with my friend Bruce Barnbaum about the term greatest hits, which he doesn't like. He thinks that's a derogatory term, but I don't. I think a greatest hit, by definition, means it's the very best work you've done. And to call something a greatest hit is a compliment, not an insult. But that's what most photographers aim to do. And with the evolution of digital tools, it's become easier and easier to make that kind of image that takes our breath away, hence the photographers who oversaturate their colors or oversharpen their images or use the clone tool to remove or add things, the pursuit of which, of course, is to make every single image absolutely spectacular, a take-your-breath-away image. Not long ago, I started calling these orgasmographs. And to be honest, I love them. It's wonderful photography. When a photograph takes your breath away, there's nothing wrong with that at all. It's not intended to be a derogatory term. But not everything needs to take our breath away. It's like saying that every note in a symphony needs to be the denouement, the ending flourish. No, somewhere along the line, you've got to have some slower passages, some variation in theme and mood, or else that denouement at the end doesn't have much impact. Same thing with a novel. Not every chapter can be the final chapter. Not every paragraph has to be a peak moment of action. It reminds me of watching baseball highlights where the only thing you see are just the home runs. But what about all the subtleties there are to be seen in a baseball game or a basketball game or other sports events where the little things make a huge difference, where the game of strategy comes into play? They can't all be home runs. And the same thing, I think, takes place in photography. There have to be some images, particularly in project-oriented images, that exist for the purpose of supporting the ones that are the iconic images. We think of Migrant Mother by Dorothea Lange as the iconic image, but what about all the other images that she photographed that live in support of that iconic image? That's what project photography is about, to some degree anyway, is putting together a group that tells something more than a single image could tell all by itself. That doesn't diminish the single image that's an icon, or that's an orgasmograph, or that's just simply spectacular and takes our breath away. It doesn't diminish that at all. As a matter of fact, I think having supporting images helps that. Interestingly enough, that's become even more possible here in the age of digital photography. Because when I get back from a weekend out shooting somewhere, what do? Well, I do what most photographers do because this is the way we've been trained, is we look at all of our images either on contact sheets if we're shooting in film or maybe in Lightroom or something in the computer. We look at all the images we shot, and what are we reviewing for? We're looking for the potential greatest hits. We're looking for the one image that is a spectacular image that will blow everybody's socks off. Well, does that mean all the other images are just dog meat? Or are we making a mistake and ignoring the potential of making a project that maybe does have a few that are the absolute winners, but others that are supporting and help tell the story? There's another aspect of this, though, that is even more bothersome, is when you pick out one image out of the group and say, this is the image that is the one I want to show. How do you know that's the one that other people would select unless you show them a group of images, which is what a project does? And I learned this when I started producing folios. It was amazing how often someone would tell me that one of the images in the folio of a dozen or two dozen was their favorite. That one is the one they really loved. But if I had 10 images in the folio with some statistical consistency, 1/10 of the audience would respond to each image, saying this was their favorite. I can economically state this by simply reminding you that beauty is in the eye of the beholder. And project-oriented photography doesn't point the audience at one image and say, this is my best. either in my career or in this trip when I was out photographing this last weekend, instead of saying, this one is my best, a group of images says, this is what I shot. And as a group, they work together to say something maybe more than any given image says on its own. That is to say, a group of images adds meaning beyond what the individual image might be able to accomplish by itself. Again, I'll try to illustrate that with other arts. You might have one song on an album that is the number one fantastic one that's at the top of the charts. But that doesn't mean all the other songs in the album don't have an important role to play, and they don't expand what that hit song accomplishes. Because they do. The album as a whole is different than the number one hit is by itself. As a matter of fact, that business about adding meaning to the group is one of the criteria that I use for editing. I simply ask the question, if I eliminate this image, will the group's content diminish? If not, then I should eliminate the image. If the group's content is diminished by the elimination of an image, then that image needs to stay. Every single image in a project adds something to the project. And sometimes it adds a big thing, and sometimes it adds a little thing. But, you know, as the old maxim says, the beach is made up of boulders and stones and pebbles and sand. Any one of those things can be considered on its own, but in order to think about the beach, they all have to be thought of as a unity. And I think that same sort of thinking applies to project-oriented photography. There's also something else I've noticed about project-oriented photography that fascinates me. And that is the minute you put two pictures together in just a diptych, the natural inclination of viewers is to try to see either the connection and or the difference between them. In other words, they're interpreting the interstices between the images. They're trying to see what's in common, or they're trying to see what the difference is. So it engages the viewer's mind in a way that the single image does not. The single image, particularly in this day of social media, tends to create a response of either thumbs up or thumbs down. I either like it or I don't. But if you put two images together, then the question becomes, how are these playing against each other? What do they have in common? What do they have that are differences? And if you add a third one, that expands the comparison, fourth, fifth, sixth, etc. So project-oriented photography tends to build meaning. Now, again, as Jerry points out, it's possible to have too many. But who decides that? To some degree, doesn't it depend on whether or not you really connect with the subject or with the photographer's intent? We've noticed that here in the production of Lenswork. I may really love a project and I want to include way more images. But Maureen or Crystal or the rest of the staff might look at it and say, nah, that one's not so good. Because beauty's in the eye of the beholder. And to some degree, your connection to the project and to the subject of the project will determine how many images you want to see. There is no magic number. There's no right number. And really, when you get right down to it, it's part of the challenge of the artist to figure out how many that needs to be. This is one of the reasons why over the years I've tried to develop a number of ideas about project-oriented photography. So I've suggested trilogies, which is the name of the book that we did in 2022, where you put three images together that inform each other and that create a little bit of a story or a little bit of meaning with just three images that you can sort of see like in the book on facing pages, or even if you put a trilogy on the wall, you can see all three images together at once. And that becomes very easy to look for the connections and the direction and the intent. But if three is not enough, then there's the idea of seeing in sixes. And we've done four books of seeing in sixes. and six image projects have become a really interesting way to explore a little more deeply in your Lightroom catalog, to look for more subtle connections, to build a project that has more information. Again, could you do five? Probably. Could you do seven? Probably. The truth is, we chose six for the four books that we did because it was easy to put six images on three sets of facing pages so that every project had a six-page block of images. In the magazine, we've expanded that ever so slightly with image suites that might have 7 to 9 to maybe as many as 12 images. They're not really a full-size portfolio. We tend to do portfolios in the magazine that are 16 to 18 images. Rarely do we do 20. I don't think we've ever done a project that had 24 images. Maybe. I'd have to go back and look. But you can say a lot in 16 or 18 or 20 images. And oftentimes, it's not possible to say the same thing in 6 images or 8 images. So for us, a portfolio is a dozen to, at most, 2 dozen images. And then the next step beyond that is either a monograph or our new Lenswork bonus editions, where sometimes a project might extend itself to 40 or 60 or 80 images. And that feels more consistent with the kind of volumetric approach that you find in a book. As a matter of fact, I tend to divide photography books into two separate kinds of publication. The first kind of publication is a monograph that's sort of a recap of the photographer's very best work, usually over their entire career. We might call that a greatest hits sort of approach. They're really spectacular and stunning images, but each image is a standalone experience. I'm sure we all have lots of these kinds of books in our personal libraries, and they're great, particularly if you love the work of a photographer and their approach to life and their aesthetic. They're great to have those collections of individual images. But the other kind of book is a book that explores a place or a theme or a people or an activity. I think of Paul Strand's Tira Moran, or the work that David Plowden has done in Small Town America, or Edward Weston's My Camera on Point Lobos, or Ansel Adams' Yosemite in the Range of Light. There are lots and lots and lots of books that are collections about a theme, about a subject, about a place, and they often have 60, 80, 100, 150 images in it. So that's my thinking about project-oriented photography. It has a place in the world. Matter of fact, maybe even a stronger place in the world here in the age of digital processing than the individual image had. But that does not mean that it replaces the individual image as the backbone and the core of photography. So when Jerry asks, but for the life of me, I can't imagine why you would choose an editorial policy that ends up doing the opposite of what you intend, actually, it does exactly what I intended. I'm using Lenswork to do something that I think no other magazine does quite like we do, and that is to present groups of photographs that are intended to communicate as a group, not as individual images. Even though any one of us might look at any given image in Lenswork and say, oh my God, that one takes my breath away, it's fantastic. That's great. There's nothing wrong with that. But the emphasis on single image photography needs a little bit of a pendulum swing in the direction of group or project-oriented photography, which I'm hoping Lenswork is providing and opening people's thought process to the collection of images that work as a unified group. So in my way of thinking, project photography is a way to approach photography that can be useful for some people. And greatest hits kind of photography is also a way that can be useful for some people. And in truth, my suspicion is that most photographers bounce back and forth between groups of images and single images with ease and fluidity, because not every single image needs any others in order to be great, but sometimes images as a group can do something that a single image can't. So, hence, lens work is project-oriented photography, and always has been since the earliest days. And I hope, Jerry, you don't mind, that's what lens work is going to continue to do, because I enjoy it so much. I enjoy groups of photographs. I enjoy producing them. I enjoy consuming them. I enjoy getting to look at all the thousands of submissions that we receive here at LensWork, where a photographer has begun to think in terms of project-oriented photography. I find it incredibly inspiring. Does that mean I absolutely am in love with every single image that we publish in LensWork? No, not always. But these decisions are not mine alone. And sometimes someone else loves an image way better than I do. That doesn't necessarily say anything about the image, but it might say something about the individual who's viewing it. And I may not see how a given image plays well in the group, so how does it relate to its brothers and sisters in the project, but someone else might think it's a linchpin in that group. We're all different. We all see different. And I guess what I'm encouraging everybody to think about is, how do you want to think about photography? As individual images? Or can each image be a paragraph or a chapter in something that's actually a part of a theme or a bigger project of which it is a contributor? Lots to think about when it comes to project-oriented photography. And I'm absolutely thrilled that LensWork has been able to make at least a small contribution in the history of photography towards this way of thinking.
Copyright 2025, LensWork Publishing.